Here is the unreported green news from Radio EcoShock. You've seen the hurricanes, heat waves, flooding rains, and altered weather in person and on TV. Now it's time to let your politicians know we need real action to protect our climate. There will be climate change demonstrations this December 3rd in at least 24 countries. They'll be marching in Australia, Bangladesh, Brazil, Bulgaria, Canada, Chile, England, Germany, Greece, and everywhere in Europe, plus Japan, Korea, Mexico, Peru, Romania, Russia, and Turkey, and even in the United States. To find out what's happening in your country or to organize in your city, contact info@globalclimatechange.org or go to the website at www.campaignagainstclimatechange.net. December 3rd is the Saturday midway through the MOP, the first meeting of the parties to the Kyoto Protocol, the climate talks in Montreal, starting November 28th and finishing December 9th. How long will you wait? Until the carbon economy destabilizes nature and your lives. It's time to show up in the streets. Even if you think it's just you, it's not. Millions of people are rightly worried about the weather. Make a sign and get out there. In Britain, the country's chief scientist appears to have sold out to Tony Blair and the nuclear lobby. Sir David King won wide respect for his brave and outspoken warning about global climate change. Here is a clip from his interview with Australian ABC National Radio.
You're listening to ABC Radio National's MP3 and podcast of The Science Show. Find out more, go to abc.net.au/rn.
It was a study that we broadcast only a couple of weeks ago that came from the British Association meeting in Dublin, suggesting that there will be less food. 50 million people extra will be starving as a result of global warming, and most of those will be in Africa, actually.
No, that's right. So looking at the impacts around the world, first of all, Africa will suffer in that way, and secondly, in Asia, around the Indian coastline, Bangladesh, Indonesia, their rising sea levels and storm levels will actually remove the habitat of a significant proportion of the population. By 2080, we're estimating something like 50 to 100 million people displaced from their place of habitat. Now, that isn't going to only impact on those regions. That will destabilize the political and economic basis of the global system.
But now George Monbiot writes this in the Guardian newspaper for October 25th, quote, "I report this with sadness. Sir David King has lost his bottle. Until a few weeks ago, the chief scientific advisor looked to me like one of the few brave souls in the British government. In an article in Science at the beginning of the year, he argued that, quote, climate change is the most severe problem that we are facing today, and more serious than the threat of terrorism, and criticized the Bush administration for, quote, failing to take up the challenge. In response, he was viciously attacked by the Exxon-sponsored climate change denier Myron Ebel. Being attacked viciously by Myron Ebel is something to which all self-respecting scientists should aspire. Last month he was attacked again, and this time he deserved it. At a meeting of the climate change specialists, Sir David announced that a reasonable target for stabilizing carbon dioxide in the atmosphere was 550 parts per million parts of air. It would be, quote, politically unrealistic, he said, to demand anything lower. Simon Retallack from the Institute for Public Policy Research stood up and reminded Sir David what his job was. As chief scientist, his duty is not to represent political reality. There are plenty of advisors schooled in that art, but to represent scientific reality. Retallack's own work, based on the latest science, shows that at 550 parts per million, the chances of preventing more than 2 degrees of global warming are just 10 to 20%. To raise them to 80%, those chances, carbon concentrations will have to be stabilized at 400 parts. 2 degrees is the point beyond which most climate scientists predict catastrophe. Several key ecosystems are likely to flip into runaway feedback. The biosphere becomes a net source of carbon. Global food production is clobbered, and 2 billion people face the risk of drought. Sir David replied, if he recommended a lower limit, he would lose credibility with the government. as far as I was concerned, his credibility had just disappeared without a trace. By shielding his masters from uncomfortable realities, he is failing in his duties as both scientist and advisor. Anyone who has studied the BSE crisis knows how dangerous the cowardice of scientific counselors can be. As if to prove his nerve has gone, on Friday Sir David made his clearest statement yet, that he sees nuclear power as the answer to climate change. With the right carbon taxes, he said, nuclear power would become cheaper than coal. Quote, it's important we do take the public with us on the environmental debate. That is why I'm trying to sell it. Sir David may have political reasons for trying to sell new nuclear power stations. At the Labour Party conference, Tony Blair said he wants to re-examine the nuclear option. Let us forget for the moment that nuclear power spreads radioactive pollution, presents a target for terrorists, and leaves us with waste problems that no government wants to handle. To get George Monbiot's full article, go to the Guardian site at www.guardian.co.uk. This nuclear power lobby is spreading like an octopus, trying to feed on genuine environmental concerns. NIM FM Radio from Australia reports that a well-known eco-fund is investing in uranium mining, saying that would be a good way to stop climate change. Uranium mining is environmentally friendly? Don't be insane. We have much safer ways to solve our problems. Check with your green investment fund to make sure they aren't falling on the dirty nuclear wagon, all in the name of environmentalism. The American Environmental Protection Agency has announced that its Green Power Partnership has produced 3 billion kilowatt hours this year from environmentally friendly sources. Green power includes solar, wind, and other renewable resources. The partnership includes some Fortune 500 companies and is growing. According to the EPA press release, dated October 25th, 3 billion kilowatts would power 300,000 American-style homes. While anything green coming out of the Republican-style EPA is something to cheer about, this raindrop of production from America, the energy giant, is also pretty pathetic. To get more about the project, go to www.epa.gov/greenpower. The European Environment Agency has released a report on the use and limits of biomass, burning organic material like wood or crop waste, for energy. The report says that electricity, heat, or fuel for transportation can be generated without compromising the environment. The report was released at the 14th European Biomass Conference in Paris, which started on October 17th. To get more info on the report, titled EEA Briefing No. 2, 2005, How Much Biomass Can Europe Use Without Harming the Environment?, go to reports.eea.eu.int/briefing_2005_2. The report is available as a PDF file in several languages. ENS, the Environmental News Service, reports that the European Union plans to clean the marine environment in 15 years. The Commission faces a general decline in the Mediterranean Sea, the Baltic, and most inland waters due to toxic waste, excess nutrients, harsh overfishing, and the impacts of climate change. The new plan is called the Thematic Strategy on the Protection and Conservation of the Marine Environment. It was presented in Brussels on October 23rd. Environment Commissioner Stavros Dimos said, quote, Europe's seas and oceans make a huge contribution to our quality of life and our economic prosperity, but they are deteriorating because of overexploitation, pollution, climate change, and a range of other factors. For that full story, go to www.ens-newswire.com. Greenpeace International is denouncing the complete lack of law when it comes to importing illegally cut wood. They say, quote, everyone knows it's illegal to import pirated CDs and DVDs with heavy penalties if you get caught, but what happens when you import stolen timber from the world's last ancient forests? Absolutely nothing. The Amazon lost an area roughly the size of Belgium last year, and the paradise forests of Southeast Asia are disappearing so rapidly that their most famous residents, orangutans, are facing extinction in the wild within the next decade. The African forests of the great apes is similarly facing a huge assault. Why? Illegal and destructive logging, driven by demand for cheap wood from Europe. Last week, in the port city of Livorno, Italy, we blocked the unloading of the freighter Guanhe Cao, which was carrying timber from a company involved in illegal logging in the Congo Basin. The presence of the Guanhe Cao and its rainforest cargo in Europe shows just how easy it is to steal from some of the most biologically rich areas in the world. After the activists were arrested, the ship continued to deliver the timber before sailing to Spain, where we greeted it again in the port of Valencia on Monday. No inspections, no seizure of the stolen goods. That is from a feature at the website at www.greenpeace.org. Reuters reported October 11th on a strange new development in the Amazonian rainforest, often called the lungs of the planet. Blogger Jafet in the Rainforest Action Network, or RAN, puts it this way. Reuters reports today on another shocking fact concerning the rainforests of South America. They're drying up. It's the worst drought the Amazon River Basin has seen in 40 years, adding to a list of challenges the region already faces, including wildfires, contaminated drinking water, and millions of dead fish piling up in the puddles that once were roaring stream beds. Check out www.ran.org/blog. Finally, in the Green News Department, the World Wildlife Fund has released the results of testing the blood of typical European families. At www.panda.org, the October 6th press release says, quote, results from WWF's first European-wide family blood testing survey found a total of 73 man-made hazardous chemicals in the blood of 13 families, grandmothers, mothers, and children from 12 European countries. The highest number of chemicals was detected in the grandmother's generation, 63. However, the younger generation had more chemicals in their blood, 59, than their mother's, 49, and some chemicals were found at their highest levels in the children. WWF's Generation X survey, with participants from 12 to 92, confirms the results of previous tests on members of the European Parliament, EU ministers, scientists, and celebrities. Quote, it shows we are all unwitting subjects of an uncontrolled global experiment, and it is particularly shocking to discover that toxic chemicals in daily use are contaminating the blood of our children, said Carl Wagner, director of WWF's detox campaign. Do you think your blood is clean? Free of all these persistent organic chemicals produced in huge vats daily, trucked and railed through your cities and poured into products for your home. Hail to the subjects of the uncontrolled global experiment with toxic chemicals. Tune in to 24 All Environment News, interviews, and music at www.ecoshock.org. That's ECO shock like an electric shock.org. It's commercial free, all natural radio.